it would really be a death sentence for the bush to have no fixed landline. People that get adequate mobile service just really don't understand what it's like not to get adequate mobile service. We can't have people having to climb on top of water towers or silos or going outside to have to make emergency calls. And that's the reality in the bush at the moment. So I think removing landlines would really be a massive step backwards for regional telecommunications.
But the focus of your organisation and many others has been on trying to improve internet services for the bush. Why are you expressing disappointment in a week that the government has addressed those concerns with new legislation before the parliament?
There are some positive steps forward in terms of internet access and data limits and the need for regional Australians to access internet for businesses. But they also have to remember that landline is an essential tool. And we can't be having all our eggs in one basket either. So that's what we presented to the Productivity Commission. If your voice service was over SkyMaster satellite, for example, and there was a fault with the satellite, how would you actually get in touch with your provider? Because if you had no landline, you wouldn't be able to lodge a fault.
The Productivity Commissioner may have spoiled the federal government's party to some extent, but the new legislation it introduced yesterday still goes a long way to addressing the concerns being raised by some 20 or so organisations across the Australian landscape. Theresa Corbin represents the Communications Consumers Action Network.
The legislation is going to really lay the cornerstone for what we need for, you know, basically making sure that we do have adequate services and consumer protection going into the future. Because, I mean, just looking at the statutory infrastructure provider piece alone, when the draft came out, we were worried that because they didn't define what a basic broadband service was, there were areas that could be exempted. We were really concerned about the fact that people were getting caught between, you know, oh, it's the NBN's fault, or it's a network provider, or it's the RSP, the retail service provider, and that's not really easy for the consumer to work out. And so the good thing is that they've actually defined what a basic broadband service is now, 25 down and 5 up, which is good. So the services that are delivered by statutory infrastructure providers have to be capable of that speed, and that the ACMA, the regulator, is going to monitor that and provide reporting. Now, there's a lot more work to be done to get, you know, all of the rest of the standards and everything in place to deliver that. But the point is that there will be something in legislation to ensure that happens. And also the minister's got more powers to implement service standards, which he didn't have before. So those are big steps forward from our perspective. Doesn't get us there, but it certainly is it gives us the legislative vehicle to get us there.
The Consumers Action Network also welcomes other improvements to stop the handballing of complaints between network and internet providers and to get complaints addressed more quickly. Theresa Corbin says the bill also ensures regional services will be sustainable.
It's been a really big worry that at some point the government would say, look, we're not going to fund these services anymore, or, you know, maybe in 10 years' time when we need to start thinking about upgrading to another satellite, that there won't be any funds there. And rural and remote consumers have been really worried about that. So the regional broadband scheme, from our perspective, gives that more certainty. The thing that we raised as being something that we were concerned about was more in relation to making sure that there is a low-income broadband scheme in place, not just because of, you know, the cost of cross-subsidising satellite and fixed wireless services, but just generally speaking, the research shows that broadband is quite an expensive service for people on low incomes, and that we need to make sure that we're bringing everybody along, especially when the government's making big savings by putting a lot of things online.
Theresa Corbin from Communications Consumers Action Network. If you were sitting in front of a telecommunications minister and you were offered a choice between a guaranteed universal access to broadband services or a guaranteed or a continuation of the universal service obligation to provide a fixed landline, what would you do?
Well, I wouldn't. I would say, yes, we need to have universal access to broadband, but where we can't deliver an adequate voice service over a broadband service because it's run over satellite, then we need to have an adequate alternative. And at the moment, we've got a copper continuity obligation that needs to stay in place until there is something else. And maybe that is a future satellite that can actually deal with that technology better. You know, I don't think that exists at the moment, but, you know, that it could in the future. So, you know, I think that we do need to make sure that the services that people are provided over landlines are adequate. I don't think that's a case of saying either or. It is a case of having to make sure that we've actually covered both.
It remains to be seen whether the government will accept the Productivity Commissioner's recommendations to do away with the guarantee on fixed landlines. But the Isolated Children's Parents Association says for the 90,000 homes across Australia for whom mobile phone coverage is not an option, the universal service obligation is not negotiable. Kim Hughes is a mother in northwest Queensland and president of the Queensland ICPA.
Well, 3% is still 3%. And I mean, those people deserve just as much right to a reliable quality telecommunication service as everybody else in Australia. And I think that we have issues with distance education. We've got issues with safety of life. There's health and social aspects as well. So we can't just forget these 3% and put them in the too hard basket because there's no viable alternative for them.
How serious would it be for rural and remote families if the landlines were to be hung up, so to speak?
I think it would be very serious. We have lots of students who go through distance education. They're on SkyMaster Internet, and the landline is their biggest asset. They cannot access their lessons with their teachers and their classmates without the landline. They've trialled different alternatives like voice over the internet programs, and it just doesn't work because of the delay that there is with satellite technology from one voice to another. So it's not working, and things like science experiments, music, languages, things that are really quite interactive are not really going to be able to be done on VoIP at this point. And we've also got issues with safety of life, especially during the wet season. Some of these remote properties are very isolated and their only communication is their landline. So if their phone goes out because of a weather event or the power goes out, they literally have no form of communication.
Well, Kim, I really appreciate you having a chat with the Country Hour about it. I have to say, things must be improving in some ways in the bush. I think this is the first time I've received a media release from the Isolated Children's Parents Association. Three out of the four numbers listed on the bottom are mobile phone numbers.
Yes, I think we certainly can acknowledge that the mobile black spot program and the rollout of more towers is certainly benefiting a lot of rural and remote people. I actually have a booster. I paid $1,000 to get more signal off the mobile phone tower that is about three properties away from us. And it certainly, even though it was expensive, it has enabled me to be able to send messages to my kids at boarding school. I've been able to see what they're wearing to the movies on Saturday night. It's actually changed my life for the better, so I'm very fortunate.
And we are too. It's enabled you to call us back on the Queensland Country Hour today, so thank you very much indeed for doing that.
Thanks very much, Charlie.